The Haines Assembly discusses several pieces of state legislation, and there's a new way to count your halibut catch. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. The Haynesboro Assembly changed venue for its regular meeting Tuesday, expecting a large crowd and lengthy discussion on another heliskiing issue. A sizable crowd did arrive, but not for the issue expected to draw the most attention. Instead, most members of the public spoke out against a fishing license agreement with Canada. The heliski operators said they were no longer interested in opening up more land for this season, and the Assembly voted to take a stand on the most controversial state legislation being debated in Juneau right now. Assemblyman Jerry Lapp was absent, which also played into some interesting vote counts for the meeting. First, the heliskiing. The point of having the meeting at the Chilkat Center Tuesday was because 2 weeks ago, the Assembly had to decide what to do with a request from heliskiing companies to open more area for a special photography contest. That item, and another having to do with heliskiing, drew an overflow crowd to the usual Assembly chambers. At that meeting, the Assembly originally voted the request to open more land down by a narrow margin, but Assemblyman Dave Barry wanted a reconsideration of the vote. It was anticipated the contentious issue would again draw a large crowd. Instead, about 30 people attended the meeting and heard Southeast Alaska Backcountry Adventures owner Scott Sundberg say the contest was off and that the company didn't need the area because they've ended their season. Sundberg said outside the meeting that the poor ski conditions this year, coupled with a recent fatal avalanche, put a damper on the season for SEBA. He said conditions were just too questionable, his customers weren't getting the snow conditions they paid for, and the staff was grieving the loss of a guide in the recent avalanche. Instead, he told the Assembly he has his sights set on a special event for next year that could bring big names and sponsors to the Haines area. The Assembly still voted whether to open one section of the land requested for a special event. Three Assembly members voted in favor, two opposed, but that means the resolution failed because it needed four votes. During public comment, several residents spoke about a bill in the state legislature that would end a reciprocal fishing license agreement between Alaska and Canada. The agreement allows Canadian residents to purchase Alaska fishing licenses at resident rates. Representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins authored the legislation that would end the agreement, meaning Canada visitors would pay an out-of-state rate for licenses. Those speaking against the bill included Haines Tourism Director Tanya Carlson and business owners Doug Olrud and Gary Hess.
I don't know how much more our town can stand not having any kind of economy. I mean, that's a lot of money they bring to town. And I've got a lot of Canadian friends that they really look forward to coming to Haines. And I totally oppose it.
Some of the speakers said while they oppose ending the agreement, more enforcement by Fish and Game would be beneficial. Resident Marlena Sape spoke in favor of the bill that would end the reciprocal agreement.
Although it's reciprocal, it's not a comparable license. And I believe our good neighbors should start paying the staff now since our Fish and Game needs the money. I think that just because we share a common border, that doesn't mean that we should be giving away our resources at reduced prices.
Later in the meeting, the Assembly voted unanimously to send a letter to Representative Christ Tompkins, asking him to repeal the legislation. Christ Tompkins responded to Haines Mayor Stephanie Scott, saying having received the letter from the Assembly means he will not forward the legislation to the Fisheries Committee, and that for all intents and purposes, the bill is now dead. The Assembly discussed other state legislation up for debate in Juneau and picked a doozy of a bill to tackle, HB 77. This is a voluminous piece of legislation from Governor Sean Parnell, and he says it would streamline the permitting process in the Department of Natural Resources to help alleviate the agency of permit backlogs. Organizations such as mining and timber industries support the measure, but tribal organizations, fishing groups, and environmental agencies have gone out against the legislation, saying the proposed changes would limit public involvement in land management decisions and give the Natural Resources Commissioner blanket authority to issue general permits. To give you a sense of the opinions involved in this measure, a few weeks ago in the Senate Resources Committee, public testimony on the bill lasted over 2 days, with only two people talking in support of the legislation. The committee also received written comments on the bill. That stack is 6 inches thick, 4 inches against the legislation, 2 inches for. Some key lawmakers, both Republican and Democrat, are still on the fence themselves. Right now, the bill is stalled as lawmakers try to hammer out compromises that will move it forward. The topic came up at the recent Southeast Conference, a regional group of communities and businesses in Southeast. Assemblywoman Deborah Schnabel attended the conference, and the mayor asked her to report back about the discussions of HB 77. Schnabel at Tuesday's meeting said she personally supports the legislation and would vote for the assembly to collectively oppose it. So did other assembly members, except Dave Barry. That means the motion would have passed. But immediately after the vote, Joanne Waterman asked for a reconsideration and changed her vote. So the motion was defeated, meaning the assembly will not voice a comment on the bill. The assembly also voted down an ordinance long in the works for the Haines Harbor to purchase a dump trailer to help with harbor trash and waste. With only 3 votes in favor of that ordinance, it failed. The groups also discussed a document from borough attorney Brooks Chandler. He drafted a finding of fact and conclusion of law about the assembly's decision to grant a permit for a private helipad on Chilkat Lake Road. The assembly overturned a decision by the Planning Commission to grant that permit at its last meeting. The document drafted by the attorney is in case a decision is appealed in court. But assembly members found several issues with the document they want the attorney to fix. Instead of waiting for the attorney to fix the document and call a special meeting to approve it, Waterman called for a recess of the meeting until Friday. The only item to be taken up at that continuation of the meeting will be the document from the attorney. Waterman said she wanted a recess instead of a special meeting because it saves money. Assembly members are paid for each meeting they attend, but if they are just attending a continuation of a meeting, they don't have to be paid for the second part of the meeting. Finally, the assembly discussed the schedule for budget meetings. The manager's budget will be released next Tuesday, and the assembly will first discuss it on April 8th. Also, that will be the first meeting with borough manager David Sosa in attendance. He is expected to be on the job late next week. People going charter fishing in Southeast Alaska this year could get more than the usual 1 halibut a day. But it will take charter businesses and commercial quota shareholders working together in a new program. Angela Denning has more.
Southeast charter anglers used to be able to keep 2 halibut per day of any size. But in recent years, there have been increasing restrictions with more bag limits and size limits. The restrictions have been developed because the charter sector has continued to overfish their harvest level. But Pete Troy, who owns Petersburg Fishing Adventures, says he's lost business because of it.
Incredible amounts of business I lose because of that. I have lots of interested people, and when I tell them what they're going to be able to keep for fish, they say, no, we'll pass.
This year, a new program could give charter businesses like Troy's a little more leeway. It's called GAF and stands for Guided Angler Fish. It's a voluntary provision of the new halibut catch sharing plan and allows halibut charters to lease commercial quota for more harvest opportunity. There is no size limit on the GAF fish.
And so using GAF, charter anglers could potentially keep up to 2 fish of any size per day.
Julie Scheuer is a fishery management specialist with the National Marine Fisheries Service in Juneau. NIMFS is overseeing the GAF program. Charter guides can use GAF in different ways. They could use their charter limit of 1 fish, which has size restrictions, and then use 1 GAF for a fish of any size. Another option would be to use 2 GAFs for 2 fish of any size. The idea for the transfer program came from the Charter Halibut Stakeholder Committee. The North Pacific Fishery Management Council approved the program.
It's a razzle-dazzle deal they came up with.
Charter Captain Pete Troy says it was very hard to understand at first, but now he says he gets it.
It means that when I get a customer on the boat that catches a fish, he's able to pay an extra $150 approximately and keep that fish, allowing him to keep 2 fish a day instead of just 1 little ping-pong paddle.
Troy would like to give GAF a try, but he hasn't found commercial fishermen who would sell their quota share for a reasonable price. And it will be up to fishermen like Troy to make the transfer deals. Scheuer says NIMFS won't get involved in pricing what quota shares are worth. She says it could go through brokers like other IFQ sales, or fishermen could do it on their own. Perhaps the easiest scenario is fishermen who have both, charter permits and quota shares. There are 19 of those fishermen in Southeast's Area 2C.
They can just transfer some of their own quota to themselves if they're operating in both fisheries.
Interest in the new program is still unknown, but Heath Hilliard bets it's not going to be very popular. He is the executive director of Southeast Alaska Guides Organization, or SEAGO.
I've still only heard of about, I don't know, less than 20% of Southeast operators who have any plan or intention or desire to lease into the guided anglerfish provision.
While Hilliard understands the need for restrictions, he doesn't think this is the answer.
We've said the whole time that while we appreciate the council's intent to provide a compensated reallocation mechanism, we don't think this is really the best approach.
Gaff catches will count towards the commercial catch limit and not the charters. The charter limit this year is about 761,000 pounds, down about 17,000 from last year. There are additional reporting requirements for charter guides using Gaff. They'll have to submit an electronic report to NIMFS through their website. And while the new transfer system is voluntary, it's also permanent in nature. Gaff will remain in federal regulations until it's changed through the regulatory process. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Angela Denning for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.